Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Tuesday, April 13th, 2021. We are broadcasting live from downtown Youngstown, Ohio, and we are produced by Joe Danier and the Youngstown Studio Network. You have a chance to win some big money this week. Joe, my co-host over here, is adding $100 every week to this box here in front of me. Some of you have seen it before. If you're listening on podcasts, it's going to be tough to hear or tough to see, but there is a 3-digit code that will unlock this box. Inside this box, there is, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but $400 bills.
$400 bills.
All right. So we have $400 in cash and AirPod Pros, which retail for $250.
Yeah.
So over $650 worth of cash and prizes. I feel like Bob Barker up here that you could win. And all you have to do is call in, talk about something we're talking about on the show and guess a 3-digit code.
Now, did you see my hint this morning, by the way?
I did not.
All right, let me share the hint with you.
Okay.
So my hint was that when I set the combination, the 3-digit code, I needed a 3-digit number.
Okay.
And I looked at the clock. Now, does that eliminate any possibilities? Does that give you any hint or...
We're not talking military time, are we?
I don't know. It's just a hint. I can't be too specific.
So but he maybe was looking at the clock.
I was looking at the clock.
Okay. So, that narrows it down quite a bit.
A couple of them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. All right. Very good. So if you would like to call in, the number is 330-595-1600. We would love to hear from you. Phone lines are going to be open the entire show today. Again, if you're one of those people that watches this show on delay, a lot of our viewers aren't able to watch live, afternoon work, I get it, but you can always call into Fast Freddy's show or any of the shows later on in the evening as well. So one more time, 330-595-1600. I'll share that with you. Looks like we do already have a call, which we'll get to you guys in a little bit here. I just want to give you an idea about what's on the show today. We have our new segment we're going to be doing. It's going to be called Top 5 Tuesday. Every Tuesday, at least that I do a live show. Again, Top 5 Tuesday. So I'm going to come up with a different topic each week. Today happens to be National Scrabble Day. So I was thinking National Scrabble, okay, words, whatever. You know, I used to play words with friends on my phone and stuff like that. So National Scrabble Day, and it got me thinking the grossest words in the English language. So I'm going to put up this image and I'm just going to read mine off. Of the top 5 grossest words in my English language. and I could come up with a lot. There's a lot of honorable mentions here, but I'm going to start with number 5 and work my way down. And unfortunately, a lot of them deal with bodily functions. So number 5 is the word pus. I mean, it just doesn't get much more disgusting than that. So pus is my number 5. Number 4 is mucus. That's, to me, just kind of gross. Number 3, I think this deals with food, but for whatever reason, whenever I hear this, it just grosses me out. Dollop.
Dollop.
I think that deals with like scooping.
Yeah, a dollop of ice cream or a dollop of butter.
I don't want that to be associated with anything that's going into my body. Dollop. Ointment.
Okay.
Ointment is another gross one. And, my number 1, I think this might be a lot of people's number 1, moist.
Yeah.
Not wet, not dry, moist. And as gross as that word is, I just know, you know, it's take that with a grain of salt however you want, but the word moist, just not my favorite. Joe, you have a word or two that you could add to this list?
So I'm not really grossed out much, but there is one idea, concept, and verb here that really gets me. So we were up in Put-in-Bay.
Okay.
No, not Put-in-Bay. What's the one where you take the ferry out to the island?
Yeah, that is Put-in-Bay. Put-in-Bay?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah. So we're in Put-in-Bay, or we're going up to Put-in-Bay. We're on the boat, and when we're getting off, the people in front of us must have got a little seasick, and they led a puke trail from where we were, and I had to walk by and smell every pile of puke. So vomit, puke, that's my words. I can't take them, and I hate them.
Okay. All right. And once again, a bodily function.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Or very gross, whichever way you want to look at it. All right. I'll tell you what, let's take a caller here. I'm going to make sure I do this right. Just hit the talk button.
Yep.
All right. Looks like it's Sarah. Sarah, are you on the line?
Oh my God. I'm on speakerphone and eating Taco Bell. So the worst word in the English language is colonoscopy.
Oh. Colonoscopy. Okay. Right? Okay.
Did it make you cleanse?
Cleanse. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah.
Moist is actually a decent word. I like the word moist for cake.
Okay. Or a towelette, a moist towelette, right?
A moist towelette, correct. We'll keep it PG.
Exactly. Thank you.
I get moist eating Taco Bell and thinking of Ed O'Neill. Happy birthday, Ed O'Neill.
Happy birthday, Ed O'Neill. And I have a note in here. We're going to talk about Ed O'Neill in a little bit. You still there, Sarah?
I love Ed O'Neill. Yes, I am.
Okay, all right. What's your tell me what you love most about Ed O'Neill?
Oh my God, Modern Family? No, the first. Oh gosh, I'm having a brain fart.
Married with Children?
Oh, Married with Children.
Yeah, Al Bundy.
With the football, Al Bundy, and I'm his Peg Bundy. I have a shoe addiction, so Ed O'Neill's the best thing from our valley. Besides Joe Danier, besides West Boulevard, West is best, Mr. Coffin.
That is right. Thank you. West is best. Very good.
West is best. But Ed O'Neill, growing up in Ursuline, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Was he Ursuline?
Yeah. North side of Youngstown, went to Ursuline High School.
So, I'm very proud of it, too, so happy birthday, Ed.
Absolutely.
How old is he today?
It was yesterday, and I believe he turned 75 years old.
Ooh. Did not realize he was that old.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about this, and you know, I'm kind of getting a little bit ahead of myself, but because I had this for later in the show, but I'm glad you brought this up. But Ed O'Neill was on two of the longest running sitcoms of all time with Married with Children. And I don't have how many years, but Married with Children and Modern Family, I mean, they both went over, you know, I know Modern Family was at least 10 years and Married with Children was longer than that. So.
Yeah. And I think, Married with Children was one of the better sitcoms of the later 80s and 90s.
Yeah, no doubt. I was when it first came out. Joe, do you know what year that first came out? Does it say 1987? I was.
Oh crap.
I was so young. I was like 6 years old in 1987. So I was probably not allowed to watch it then, but I kind of caught a lot of the reruns. And then that show really like sprang Christina Applegate's career too. So awesome show.
Kelly Bundy was a girl crush of even mine, but of lots of teenage boys.
Oh yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I think that guy that played Jefferson was, again, the show was before my time, but Love Boat, I think he was on that show. And, you know, Peg Bundy was recently in, she's in one of the Pitch Perfect movies as one of the moms. And so they, you know, a lot of big names in that show. And Al Bundy references, and Peg Bundy references Youngstown, Ohio several times in the Married with Children show.
And even Marcy Darcy, before the time it was accepted, her as an actress, she was a lesbian. She didn't come out. But would you ever guess from watching the show?
No, definitely not. And right? she was actually in another movie called Fright Night. Way back when, she was like a high school kid in that movie, horrible. And you know, she, pretty awesome.
Like
so,
a B movie.
Say that again.
It was probably a B list movie, right?
It might have been, but I mean, I remember it being like on HBO and stuff. So,
Wow. Very lame.
Hey, so Sarah.
Yeah, happy birthday, O'Neal.
Happy. Hey, before you go, you want to guess this 3-digit code?
711.
711.
Come on, money. Come on, money.
And then press E after that. Okay. 711.
Come on, Mr. Coffin. Come on.
Incorrect. Hey, a great try. And appreciate you taking the time to call in. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Mr. Coffin and Mr. Joe.
And just Justin. Day. No, Mr. Coffin. I'm not in the classroom, so.
No.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Oh, another call, too, there.
Oh, we have another one. Okay. All right. Let's see. We'll just go to this. Melanie Adams, I believe.
Yeah.
All right. Melanie, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Melanie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. What'd you like to talk about, or would you like to take a guess at the lockbox here?
Well, both. You were talking about the gross words,
yeah,
in English language. And as a nurse, I can just
oh, no,
keep going on and on about it.
All right, well, give me a few of them.
Pretty much every word you mentioned is in my everyday language.
so mine. Let me just refresh real quick. Mine were moist, ointment, dollop, mucus, and pus. So all disgusting, all gross. But as a nurse, you have it. Oh, and you know what? Joe and I were talking about right before we came on. I cleared my throat, and I'm like, oh, phlegm. That's another disgusting word.
That's my number one. The word, the sound.
Hocker. Yeah.
So
hocker.
What else you got as a nurse? Any other ones?
Oh, my God. Stigma.
I didn't realize this is going to be such a trending topic here.
Spittle. That's a bad one.
Oh, so bad. So bad.
Yeah, phlegm would have to be my number one.
Okay.
It's just the sound of it. Like, when you have the suction. Never mind.
Yeah.
And I believe that's spelled with a PH at the beginning. And there's a silent G in there, too. That's a great spelling bee word, though, by the way. The only good thing about it.
Yeah, I don't know where they come up with that one.
All right, you want to take a guess at the lockbox here?
Yeah, I say 732.
It's another 732. No, that's a great try, though. Great try.
Oh, thank you, though.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in, and have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All right, so we got some good. Oh, did I? Do I need to?
No, there's another one.
Another call. Another
yeah.
One.
Look at you.
I don't see it on my screen though.
All right, want me to hit it?
Yeah, yeah. All good. All right, caller, are you there?
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Who's this?
Good. I'm just calling in for a guest at the safe.
Okay. All right. Go for it.
632.
So we just had 732. 632. Nope. That's a good try, though. The only person that knows the combination is Joe.
Yeah.
So, that's it. Hey, before I let you go, though, do you have a gross or disgusting word from the English language?
Oh, man. I don't know the meaning of it, but it's weenest.
Wait, say that again?
Weenest. Like, what weenest thou that I am thine?
Weenest?
All right. Weenest.
Yeah, okay.
I just always thought it was
something, so. No. That's good. I like it. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, and you know, try again on our next show if you didn't get in today.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day. All right. Look at that. A lot of
rolling through them.
All right, so let's get into some actual sports talk here. But please, you know, you're welcome. The phone lines are open the whole show to call in anytime. You can talk about sports. You can take a guess. You can drop some gross words, whatever you want.
Who would have known I created distraction for your actual content?
Oh, I love it, though. I love it. So I'm getting my stuff in order here because, man, threw me off a loop, but
yeah, that's and, great. And this lockbox only lets you try three times, and you got to wait some time. So we'll take a little breather and get into your actual content for a little while.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. So let me actually go to the next little visual I have here. So as you remember, the Masters, or as you probably saw, the Masters was this weekend in Augusta. And, you know, like to give congratulations to Hideki. And I'm going to try to make sure I pronounce this right, but it's Matsuyama. He is the first Japanese man to ever win a major. So a 29-year-old. A 29-year-old Japanese golfer, and basically I heard, you know, he's never going to have to buy another sake in Japan or Tokyo. He's never, you know, this tournament's going to pretty much put him over the top with winnings, and, you know, maybe it, you know, might have the Tiger Woods effect in Japan where, you know, maybe, you know, it springboards a lot of kids maybe that were watching golf over there in Japan and, you know, maybe piqued their interest in golfing. So congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama, the first man in first Asian man too, I should point out too, to ever win a major. And that's excluding Tiger Woods, who does have a bit of an Asian background to him as well. So the next one, Joe, you're going to like this next slide. So last week I had Greg Kirchner on the show, and he actually said, watch out for Will Zalatoris. Will Zalatoris is a sleeper in his book. And this kid, you know, I think he's mid-20s. He weighs probably about $145. But he finished second, runner-up to Matsuyama in the tournament, finishing one stroke behind the lead, and just really kind of came out of nowhere. So congratulations to him. And as you can see on the visual, this is actually just a fun fact. It's not true, but he really looks like the initial caddy from Happy Gilmore that's assigned to him, not the caddy that he kind of picks up, the homeless guy, yeah, later on. Not the guy.
This is a skateboarder dude or whoever guy, right?
Yeah, it's a guy like I think in just that play-in tournament that he was in, he like tackles, hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk? So this was the guy that was assigned to him. So I love that. So I think that's pretty cool. And a really other quick note too, Xander Schauffele was within striking distance, and at the 16th hole, he triple bogeyed, you know, to put him four shots back. You know, DMX actually, you know, this goes together, so I'm not going off topic here, but DMX actually, you know, passed away this past weekend from, I'm not exactly sure the issues, but I thought we might get, if Xander Schauffele won, we might get, because Xander begins with an X, I thought we might get an X going give it to you if he would have came up with the win there. But, you know, rest in peace to DMX, but Xander Schauffele, Will Zalatoris, and Hideki Matsuyama, among others, that had a great, great tournament this weekend at Masters. All right, this is this next one is pretty fun for me. So if you're a Cleveland Indians fan, you will remember the name Coco Crisp. You know, Coco Crisp, it's one of those just different, cool-sounding names.
A cereal brand, of course.
So, you know, he played for the Indians in two different stints with the Indians, most recently in 2016. He had a big home run against the Red Sox to put them into the ALCS and, you know, played on the World Series team with the Indians, kind of a utility outfielder. But he was just recently named the Mahoning Valley Scrappers manager for this season. So congratulations to Coco Crisp. So I was just like, you know what? Let's have a little fun with this. So, you know, here's the other members of his coaching staff. So his bench coach is going to be Captain Crunch. His pitching coach is going to be Count Chocula. The bullpen coach is going to be Booberry.
Oh, I totally set you up and I had no idea you were going here.
No, that makes it even more fun that you didn't know the slide was coming. First base coach, Sugar Bear from, I believe that's Honey Smacks or Honey Grams or whatever. The third base coach, Lucky the Leprechaun from Lucky Charms. Lucky. Hitting coach, Tony the Tiger. I mean, that's just straight power. Special assistant to the manager, Toucan Sam. And you got to have your advanced scouting department, and that's Snap, Crackle, and Pop. All you got to get them all out there. So come together as a
that's
team.
A thing of
so I figured you'd like that.
Yes.
And, you know, have a little fun with it. All due respect to Coco Crisp. I mean, my last name, for God's sakes, is Coffin. So I've heard those jokes throughout, you know, my lifetime.
They never get old.
You know,
never.
Oh, never. Never. Yeah. There's no sarcasm in that statement. But but I just thought that was kind of fun. And real quick side note, too. Speaking of head coaches, managers, all that stuff, a lot of you Ohio State fans will remember Eddie George won the Heisman Trophy for the Buckeyes. Great NFL player for the Tennessee Titans. He was actually named head coach at Tennessee State University, which is, I believe, an FCS program this weekend. No coaching experience, but obviously knows the game inside and out. So good luck to him. I you know, maybe just a different challenge for him. I don't know necessarily why he would venture into that realm, but kind of cool, you know, kind of cool.
Now, who are your favorite Indians over time? I know I'm going back one topic on there, but like over the history, do you have any like standouts that were your favorite?
Well, Joe, if you were listening very closely to the podcast last week, I named my top five Indians.
But okay,
just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, I don't recall. So why don't you bring me?
No. So yeah, we'll bring it back up to speed. Number one, I had Kenny Lofton.
Okay.
Manny Ramirez.
All right.
CeCe Sabathia. I also had Victor Martinez and Omar Vizquel. Those were my five. And, you know, there's a lot in there. You can name Frankie Lindor or Grady Sizemore or Jim Tomey or people like that. There's a lot of really, really good ones, and it's hard to choose. But for me, those would be my top five. How about you?
Going back, my favorite first Indian was Andre Thornton.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So go way back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we got like Julio Franco, Jim Tomey, Omar Vizquel, Manny Ramirez, you know, that's the era. So that's my favorites.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. When I was first getting into baseball, you know, when usually you start getting into baseball, like around the time you start playing baseball. So for me, it was that late 80s, early 90s. So I remember guys like Corey Snyder and Joe Carter and Felix Fermin and Greg Swindell and Julio Franco and Brooke Jacoby. Those were like the guys.
Those names, I love.
Those are like, and they're not necessarily my favorites, but like Kenny Lofton for me, though, like that's the way I think the game of baseball should be played. He plays hard. He goes after it. He's, you know, he had that different, like he possessed both like speed and power, but he was like fun and he was a good defender. And it was just like I said, fun to watch, fun to play. And just great overall player.
Yeah, and the power hitters that we had over time too, like Andre Thornton was that guy that everybody was like cheering to knock it out of the park. Albert Bell was like, you know, we don't care what he does on the field, just power it out.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Albert Bell's one. And actually, you know, we do the show from downtown Youngstown up. I'm trying to think exactly where it's at, but if you get off of 680, there's a little section over there. It's not the greatest part of town, but there's an intersection over there and it's Albert Street and Bell Street intersect.
Nice.
And I remember a buddy of mine when he was younger took a picture with his dad over there and like sent it to him. And I think Albert Bell like signed it or something like that. So
cool.
I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah. All right. So Sarah, who called in earlier, had mentioned Ed O'Neill, and that's going to be my next slide. So just a quick picture of Ed O'Neill and some of the different characters he's played. Again, 75th birthday. Happy birthday to Youngstown legend Ed O'Neill. He is an Ursuline High School graduate. He did have a tryout with the Pittsburgh Steelers, graduated from Youngstown State over here. You know, most people remember him as Al Bundy. His modern family name is escaping me right now, but that's a great, great show. He's also in the cartoon Wreck-It Ralph as one of the characters. Little Giants is a great sports movie that we've talked about on this show before. And, you know, if you ever did forget, he'll remind you. If you watch Married with Children, he once scored 4 touchdowns in a high school football game for Polk High, which was actually Ursuline High up here. So, yeah, I don't know. Oh, is it Burnell? Is it Ty Burnell? No, it's Jay Pritchett. That's it.
There you go.
Jay Pritchett. Very good. Thanks for the...
Sure.
Joe does the back... Like, you guys don't see Joe on screen right now, but he does this research off screen for me, and it helps me out because my brain is like, sometimes it's like a sponge and I remember everything. And other times it's like this little simplest things I can't remember.
I'm a professional Googler.
I appreciate that, Joe. So, I want to do a little, our next thing I want to do, I'm kind of all over the board here with this stuff, but I kind of want to, do a little teaser for an upcoming show we're going to be doing.
You're excited about this one.
I am. This is going to be a lot of fun, and we have a lot of help with this one. This is going to be pretty exciting. So Joe and I are going to be in studio for the NFL Draft Night Special. It's a Thursday evening, and I put on there approximately 7:30 start time. We'll give you an exact start time, whether it's 7 or whether it's 8. You know, we'll play that by ear. Or what do you think offhand for this, for a start time?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be doing a lot of commentary, and I don't know that I'm smart enough to have much lead up before anything big, but if you wanted to do like any profiling or any mock guesses or whatever, I'll be more than happy to get things going at 8.
All right. That sounds good. So just stay tuned to the show. So I put on there again, approximately 7:30.
Okay. Yeah, that's good enough for me.
But we're going to have Fast Freddy at, where's he going to be?
Magic Tree.
At Magic Tree in Boardman. And we're going to have Lisa Resnick of Homes and Hops. She's also a local realtor, and she is going to be at
West Side Bowl.
Yeah. I was just trying to tee that up for you.
That's right. Yeah, you want to see what I knew, huh? Google that.
So Thursday, April 29th, that shows again in about 12 days from now. 2.5 weeks from now. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. April 29th. Today's April 13th. So 16 days from now. So that will be really, really exciting. That's going to be a lot of fun. As of now, you know, the draft will be, you know, Thursday night. It is in Cleveland, which is really, really cool. And, you know, they're limiting attendance up there. So I'm sure we're going to have some Youngstown people up the draft. Maybe we'll see if we can even, you know,
get somebody up
that we know that's a friend
of
the show.
We'll publish a Zoom chat. So if anybody's on location and wanted to join the chat from your phones, we'll put you right on the show.
That's awesome. Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's play.
Can we
on
talk
that.
Any Brown stuff? Do you have anything in your list?
Oh, it's coming soon.
All right. I'll wait.
No, set it up.
All right. So we heard that, you know, Clowney was spotted twice. Mm-hmm. in Berea. Any thoughts on whether or not he joins the...
I think by tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, he is a Cleveland Brown.
Really? You think so? Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
And I'm excited about that too. My only hesitation, and you know, us as owners, it's not our money we're spending on him, but I'm thinking like, if it's a one-year contract, whatever, you know, just
see if he washed.
But I think he's going to sign a prove it contract. Kind of one of those like, hey, you know, I think last year he only played in 8 games with injury with the Titans, and he was rumored to be a member of the Browns last year in the offseason. But so the Browns, they signed Tack McKinley to kind of go on the opposite end of Myles Garrett. He is more of the pass rushing type. Jadeveon Clowney is more of the run stopper, but he can get after the quarterback too, especially if Myles Garrett's getting a ton of attention. And the Browns defense is really, really looking nice. And then what I'm excited for is if they are able to sign Jadeveon Clowney, one, that gives you depth, but two, that means you can use your first round pick as a luxury. You can use that on a corner. You can use it on a wide receiver.
Would you waste it though would you waste it that way? Maybe a linebacker?
Well, I think corner is a position of need still.
Okay.
And I think, so I would use it on one of 4 positions, and I'll explain why. I would use it on probably first starting with a cornerback because
Anytime we went after a cornerback early, they always fizzled out. That's my only fear about going early for a corner.
Okay. Well, what about Denzel Ward, though?
That's true. That's
He's panned out. Here's what I will say. Browns, I think, are expecting Greedy Williams to be an impact player in the secondary. With the injury he had, he didn't play a snap last year and only played a handful his rookie year. I don't know if we can count on him. That's why I'm saying I think we need to go after depth in that position. So we have Denzel Ward on one side. I think whoever you – if they took a guy at 26, that's probably your starting corner on the opposite side. Maybe Greedy Williams is in there. And then they signed that kid from Youngstown, Troy Hill – is probably your slot guy, and you got depth in at the safety position. You got Harrison. You have, John Johnson. You have missing one in there, but the Browns have depth at that position now. You might go after a linebacker.
Now, did I read that they're considering moving Miles to a different position, or was that
they could flip him to the opposite side? A lot of times, he actually rushes from the right. The right side of the end, the right end position. So he could, I really think they kind of move him around left side or right side.
A different position entirely.
Now, like, he's too valuable as a pass rusher to drop him into coverage. Like, you might do that every now and then to mix things up, but he's too valuable to really, he's basically a high paid specialist, you know, just rush the quarterback, get after them. Now, a lot of people might say, well, why'd you mention wide receiver? That's ridiculous. Now, here's why. Obviously, we know the Browns have Odell Beckham Jr., who will be coming back healthy. They have Jarvis Landry, who will be, you know, probably the Browns, like the heart and soul of the Browns. They have re-signed Rashard Higgins. They also have Donovan Peoples-Jones. So you're pretty solid in Cardale Hodge. So you have five deep at receiver. Now, some people might say, why would the Browns take a wide receiver? Here's why. I can almost bet the house that Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham will not be on the team next year going forward. Rashard Higgins signed a one-year deal. He might not be back. So
I was surprised to see that he's back this year, really.
And for the Browns, that's a great signing. It really is. They got him on a team-friendly deal. But you don't want to... How do I want to say this? You don't want to not plan for the future with that position because, you know, free agency is a tough game to play with the wide receiver market. So, we'll see on that. But I think any one of the positions of defensive end, linebacker, cornerback, or wide receiver. So
now CBS has linebacker. Picked for their mock draft.
Okay. Okay.
So we can see
Jermaine Davis. I've seen the kid from Tulsa. I would love if the Notre Dame linebacker, he's got a crazy last name, would drop to the Browns. The guy, like my dream player for the Browns to get would be JC Horn, who is a cornerback from South Carolina. So you know, again, we'll see where they end up, but there's so many. That would be another good one. Jason, I believe it's Owe.
But if we pick up Clowney, does that change anything?
I don't think so, because that I think there's certain positions you can never have enough dudes. You know what I mean? I think you can never have enough corners. I think you can never have enough pass rushers. You know, the Browns might play three safeties, one linebacker, and, you know, one defensive end, and I don't know.
And now we're just nitpicking because we don't have these gaping holes anymore.
That is so, so true, and it is so nice to be a Browns fan and have the luxury of – you know, just picking the best player available. That's not worried about
Here comes another quarterback.
Exactly. So, a lot of people don't love Baker Mayfield, but him solidifying that position. And if I'm the Browns, I pay him now because next year, new TV deal goes in place. This year, the salary cap isn't as high because of COVID. There wasn't fans in the stands last year. But I would pay him because, you know, there's that base salary now, like you know, guys are getting paid $35 to $40 million. That's only going to go up, you know, and the salary cap. So I would say lock him in now and maybe get him at a discounted rate. That would be my thing.
That's one fear that I don't have with our front office is they're really good at dealing.
Yes. Andrew Berry and team, Paul D. Podesta, who actually is Jonah Hill's character in Moneyball, which is pretty awesome. They know what they're doing.
Yeah,
these guys are smart, and they're in the positions they are for a reason. Yep. So looking forward to them.
And did you see the Browns got cited? Somebody said that they are the scariest team in the AFC.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Reputation.
And I mean, yeah, if I had to guess, you know, the Browns in the entire NFL would probably be a top six team, which is pretty cool. But, you know, you obviously got to put the Buccaneers up there. You got to put the Chiefs up there, probably the Bills. And then in the NFC, maybe the Rams. It's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of excitement going forward in the NFL. And it's really cool to see the Browns are a major part of that. Yeah. So, you had mentioned mock draft, Joe. I actually have lined up 8 different people that are going to be doing a Zoom call with me. And, so initially, and I apologize to a few people because initially I think I had 18 people, signed up to be a team representative, and the logistics of getting everyone together on a Zoom on call.
It was
too much. So I confirmed 8 different people. I'm going to do this on Sunday night. It's going to be for next Tuesday's show. So each of those people are going to take one division. So there's 8 divisions in the NFL, AFC East, you know, North, South, East, and West.
And they get to pick for each one of those.
And they're going to pick for each of those teams. Now, what I did was the NFC West, for example, only has 2 draft picks. So what I did is I took the AFC East and subtracted the Jets and put that team with the NFC West. Okay. So everybody out of those 8 has 4 teams they're selecting for, or 4 picks they're making, I should say. So it's going to be pretty exciting. On this next screen, this will show the people that are picking. So in the AFC North, I have Mark Smaldino representing the AFC North. So, for example, he'll be picking for the Browns, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Bengals. Rich Harland, who was a guest on the show, he'll be picking. Dave Hodge was a guest on the show before. Greg Kirchner will be drafting. Edgar Mosco, Brett Franklin, Scott Wadman, and Jim Bennett. And I'm going to moderate it. So there's going to be 9 people on a Zoom call, which is going to be pretty cool. We're going to take about a minute or 2 minutes at most for these picks. So the show should be about a 30 to 45.
Can I boo you, by the way? Yeah. If you're going to be the Roger Goodell.
Sure.
Boo. Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Well, I mean, hell, it won't be the first time people have booed me in my life. You got to get some thicker skin, you know?
Yeah. And in addition to that, while you were saying that, it would be really fun to have like a fantasy football league for Youngstown Studio, including the hosts and the people that listen to your show.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll put a nice big trophy up there.
I like that.
That will be, yeah. That'd
yeah.
Be
let's
fun.
Do. Yeah. Let's do that in the fall. I like that idea. Okay. I actually was toying with that around March Madness time, but just kind of ran out of time. But I think that would be fun to do for fantasy football. If it works for fantasy football, we'll kick it off next March too for that. Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So thinking about the draft, that got me thinking to guys that have been drafted both in Major League Baseball and the NFL draft. So this is a pretty loaded list of very, very talented guys. So Patrick Mahomes, obviously probably the best quarterback in football, but he was also drafted in the 37th round of the 2014 Major League Draft. Kyler Murray was actually drafted, you know, first overall by the Cardinals in the NFL draft, but then he was drafted 9th overall the year before that, 9th overall player by the Oakland Athletics. Tom Brady was drafted, Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson was a very, very, very highly thought of baseball player. Colin Kaepernick, John Elway was maybe John Elway. I've heard people say could have been as good of a baseball player as he was football player, which is pretty amazing. Golden Tate we all know Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson, well, maybe the younger audience doesn't know Bo Jackson as well, but Bo Jackson was maybe, and I'm looking at the screen behind us, I see Tecmo Bowl.
Yes.
And yeah. Bo Jackson was the most absolute beast in Tecmo Bowl. And but
to a fault, like it, you could beat anybody if you had Bo Jackson.
Yeah. Just give me the Oakland Raiders. Yes. Give me Bo Jackson. He will run over anybody except for Lawrence and for the Giants. Yeah. Shaq Thompson, Michael Vick, Ken Stabler, Deion Sanders, Dante Culpepper, Dan Marino. So some notable names there that were drafted in Major League Baseball and the NFL. And that's not the complete list, believe me. But
who's the biggest flop that tried to do both? Jordan, probably.
Well, yeah, Jordan. Jordan had the name recognition, obviously. And terrible, he was so older. He was so much older. No, he made the right choice with basketball. He made the right choice. The next note I want to go on, and I got a lot of visuals today, so I'm putting Joe to work behind the scenes. The next visual I'm putting up here is Julian Edelman. He actually, he was released yesterday by the Patriots, but it's basically because he failed a physical and he's going to retire. So I thought I'd give a little quick shout out to Julian Edelman. Here's why. You might say, well, this is more of a, you know, Youngstown, Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, Northeast Ohio, whatever. Julian Edelman actually played quarterback at Kent State University before going into the NFL. So just some career quick numbers. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion, a 2018 Super Bowl MVP, 620 receptions, 6,822 receiving yards, 41 touchdowns. He did that as a seventh-round pick, like I said, out of Kent State University. This is, to me, the most impressive one. 118 postseason receptions and 1,442 yards, which would be a great 16-game regular season, is the second most in the Super Bowl era, only behind the absolute legend, Jerry Rice, probably the greatest to ever do it. So just thought I'd, you know, give him a quick shout out as, you know, Kent State right here in the 330 and being a, you know, a Northeast Ohio sports show, you know, definitely giving Julian Edelman his due.
And so, he, if ever you were cheering for the opposing team, he was the most annoying receiver because he would catch everything that came his way. Yeah. And he would break free of every coverage you could put him on. He was amazing.
Well, do you remember, you know, maybe a month or two back, we talked about the classic adjectives for white wide receivers. Oh, he's scrappy. He's the first one in, last one out. You know, he's that classic guy.
Yeah.
But you know, just a great wide receiver and you know, help Tom Brady to get to where he's at. Heck as well. Yeah. Joe, do you like Jeopardy?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I'm not smart enough to actually answer questions because I can't do the question part.
There's some shows where I feel like I think I could do well on Jeopardy, but then there's some other shows where it's like, you know, like English literature from the 18th century and, you know, like, I don't know, classic art and stuff like that. Like I would really struggle. Like, so for example, I think I've got, you know, I was tabulating one day and I think I got 27 questions right. I think that's my high watermark. And
when I play Kids Jeopardy, I do like almost all of them.
Yeah, this could have been the teen edition or something. I don't remember. But 27, I believe, was my high watermark for the. But the reason I bring this up was last week, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, actually hosted all last week. You know, since Alec Trebek has passed away, they've been doing a lot of guest hosts. I think Aaron Rodgers could be the future host of Jeopardy. I really think he could be let's say 3 or 4 years after he retires. But this was a quote from him. I watched hours and hours and hours of episodes. I took pages and pages and pages of notes. I studied like no other for this. So if you are on Jeopardy and as the host, you have to be very clear spoken. You have to know your stuff. Like Alex Trebek does not get enough credit for how smart he was. And part of it's because you're literally reading all day and you're retaining all this knowledge. Yeah. So
did he do a good job?
I watched one episode and I thought he did a very, very good job. You know, was he perfect? No, but I thought he did extremely, extremely well. And there was even a final Jeopardy question where the guy kind of joked about one of the coaching decisions made, you know, during last season. And he kind of had a laugh with that. So I think Aaron Rodgers, if I had to put money on it, I would say I might bet him as the future host of Jeopardy in, let's say, 3-4 years.
So since I didn't see it, did he do comic relief? Did he try to be funny? Did he just play it straight-laced like Alec would?
In the one episode I saw, he kind of gave tribute to Alex Trebek at the beginning and then, you know, sort of just had a little bit of fun with it, but it was pretty serious.
Okay.
And, you know, who better to host than a quarterback who's used to be a leader? And, you know, I just thought he did a great job. So shout out to Aaron Rodgers.
But quarterbacks, because of how much they study from a book, it's perfect lineup right there.
Exactly. Exactly. A quick record from this past weekend. I'm all over the sports world, sports knowledge here. So we're all over the board with stuff. So this is a baseball and basketball one. On April 9th, this past weekend, was the very first day in Major League Baseball and NBA history with both a no-hitter and a 50-point game. So Joe Musgrove, former Pittsburgh Pirate, who landed in San Diego, threw the first no-hitter in Padres history, which is pretty awesome. And the Padres, watch out for them. They are a fantastic baseball team. And Zach LaVine, he scored 50, and Jason Tatum had 53, all on the same night. Pretty impressive. A little bit of a sad note to pass along to. Last night, Steph Curry scored 53, but in that same game, Jamal Murray of the Denver Nuggets went down with an ACL injury. So that's going to probably derail the Nuggets season. And you know, hopefully he gets healthier, because he was on a roll, and so was that team. So
let me tell you about our streak of we used to take all of our guys to an Indians game in this early spring. We'd take a limo up there and have a night at the baseball field.
Okay.
And I will tell you, every time we went there, either it was terrible, like rainy, terrible weather, or it was a defensive game and they threw no hitters and it was the most boring game to freaking watch. I never enjoyed a game.
Was there an actual no hitter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To me, that would be exciting. To me,
it was boring baseball. You got to see nothing. Like, nobody did anything.
I would say, though, that would be one bucket list thing. I would love to be at a game where there's a no hitter. Maybe the Indians or whatever you want to call them going forward, you know, maybe they win the game like 10-0, but like, you know, I've never seen in my lifetime the Indians throw a no hitter.
Really?
So, no. Okay. So I would love to see that. So I've seen the Indians get no hit before, and this was a long time ago, but there could have been a game you were at.
Right.
But I would love to see that. All right, two more things, and you know, we can add on anything. So last week, and I can't remember which day it was. I meant to use it on the show, but I just ran out of time. But last week was National Pet Day. So I borrowed this from Fox College Football, but they threw out some of the like better mascots or more well-known mascots in college football. So right there, just looking at this picture, I see the Rice Owl. I believe that horse is from SMU. You got the Georgia Bulldog, the Ram from North Carolina. You got a Hog from Arkansas, a Razorback. You got the Husky from Washington. You got Bevo from Texas. And then I think his name, Colorado fans, help me out. It's on the tip of my tongue. I cannot
go Lenny. Is his name Lenny?
Maybe. I can't think of the Buffalo's name. If anybody knows the Buffalo's name from Bevo? No, that's Bevo's Texas. Whatever the Buffalo name is from Colorado. You say Lenny? I'm going to say it's not Lenny, but you
I
might
it was
be
a
right.
Longhorn. I looking at it, purple, oh. I thought it was a longhorn.
So here, let's see if we can find that out. So,
all right, what am I looking for?
The mascot from Colorado. I know it. And as soon as I see it, I'm going to know it. Ralphie. You were kind of close. You got the E.
All right.
So Joe, if you had to, let's just say you were starting an imaginary college, hypothetical college, and you had to pick an actual animal.
Okay.
As a mascot, what do you think you'd pick?
A fighting beta.
Oh, what the hell's a beta?
Beta fish. A fish.
Oh. Okay. A fighting beta.
Fighting beta. Okay. They're brutal.
What would your colors be?
Oh, it'd be like a purple and black.
Okay. Ooh, yeah. All right. Okay.
Sounds like I've thought this through. It sounds like
It really does. Yeah. You know what?
What about you?
Yeah. You know, I asked that question not anticipating answering it. Huh. Let me see. I mean, I'm a dog guy. I love dogs, but I think that's maybe a little too generic. So, Oh man. How about,
would you go like beastie anger?
I think I would go more of like a tougher, fiercer animal. Probably. Oh man. Damn. I asked.
There's no dragons.
I'm stumped on my dragons. I think there are, what's their name? Alabama, Birmingham, UAB, I believe are the dragons.
Really? Okay. So. All right. They have dragons. I didn't realize
that. Oh man. You know what? I'm going to think about that. I'll come back to that before the end of the show.
Stumped them.
And think about that. All right. And finally, I got to give a quick shout out to Matt McClure and Youngstown Clothing Company because, and I meant to share this a while back, but they came out with a list of classic Youngstown bar t-shirts. And I think this was pretty hilarious. So on the list, I see JJ's, Pogo's, Ernie McDougal's, Pal Joey's, Varsity Club, Magic Twanger. I will say I've been to 4 of 6 of those. I've been to JJ's was like when I was in right after high school, you know, college break, stuff like that. We were at JJ's all the time. Pogo's, I don't remember going there more than, you know what? I don't know if I've ever been to Pogo's. I think
it was
the
one right across from Subway.
It was right over by YSU over here.
Yeah, right across from Subway.
I think so. Okay. Yeah. Ernie McDougal's.
Where the heck was that? Was that in Niles?
It was right by Pogo's. Okay. Right by Pogo's, but no longer exists anymore. It's right by like where the Williamson School of Business is. Now, I have some good stories from there that I can't share on air, you know, some really, really funny ones. Pal Joey's, I believe, is by Schwabel's over there.
Yes, you're right.
I had been there before. The Varsity Club was one. Some good Youngstown stories that would take me back to the Wayback Machine. Can't really share on air here. And then the Magic Twanger. It was around when I was like middle school, maybe even high school. But, you know, I wasn't old enough to go there before it. Now I think it's the iHeart Radio station, but I believe that was like popular for, you know, maybe the generation above us.
Right.
So, you know, probably the mid-40s and
yeah, I think my mom
later.
Went there a couple times.
That's awesome.
They were the Facebook of clubs.
Yeah, exactly. So I just thought that was kind of cool. You know, with them, you know, I'm going to have to get probably that JJ shirt.
That's cool that they did that, though.
I think a lot of them. So if you're listening, I want to know either this, a great Youngstown bar story that you can tell on air, and we'll try to keep it PG or PG-13, and what your favorite Youngstown bar might have been. It can either be current or former. So maybe we could probably do I could do a whole show on stories just from JJ's. And there'd be some people that would love to hear it and some people that would be like, you know. And Mickey's is one that didn't make this list. Mickey's is another one that I had been to a bunch of times. And someone said, if you've ever been to Mickey's, you are immune from COVID-19. So, all right. Thinking back to my animal mascot, I'm probably thinking like a bison. I kind of like North Dakota State's mascot. I think that's kind of cool. You know, if it were the Cleveland Browns and you know, there's the dog pound, I think it'd be cool to kind of have like, you know, like the dog pound. I don't know if that could actually be a mascot. but kind of like a junkyard dog type, you know, or that would be kind of a cool nickname, the junkyard dogs, you know? So, yeah. So I guess that would be mine. That's another question too. If you got one of those, share it out and, you know, share it with us. So
there you go.
Kind of all over the board today, Joe.
But, I loved it. It was kind of funny. Show.
Today was a mixed bag.
This was our sure. vomit show.
Yes.
Yeah, literally so, yeah. and figuratively. Literally,
like, I don't think I've talked about the word pus, vomit, moist, whatever you want to say, as much as I have besides this show today. But appreciate all the callers earlier on in the show. Appreciate you guys listening and taking the time. Thursday, we are going to have, you know, again, more topics on the show. We're going to have some fun stuff coming up. And we have a lot of exciting things coming up. You know, going forward with the NFL draft coming up, with Major League Baseball stuff, with more NFL free agent news. So hopefully by the time our show comes on next, Jadeveon Clowney will be a Brown. We'll have some more info on, you know, some of these other topics we talked about. So for Joe, we appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm Justin. Everybody have a great day, and we will see you on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.